We're continuing our walk through the tabernacle in speaking on the topic or thinking about what worship is. God has called us to worship. And He's called us to worship for many reasons. We worship God because He is God, and He is worthy of our praise. We also worship God because of the great things He has done. And how many can say God has done great things in my life? I should see every hand up this morning. We also worship God so that we may have communion with Him. We've talked at length last few weeks how God's purpose in not only creating us, but sending His Son Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins is to provide for us a way to fellowship with Him. I thank God that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I received His love and forgiveness in my life. And I am thankful when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I received that second work of grace, I experienced the power of God. And I am thankful as I worship God, I can fellowship with Him. You might be saying, well, if we know Christ, don't we fellowship with Him? Yes, in a sense, but it goes beyond just receiving from Christ. It even goes beyond experiencing Christ. And we as a Pentecostal church, that's one of the things that we stress, experiencing the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. It's fellowshipping with Jesus. When we think of fellowship, we think of sharing. God is a God who not only wants us to share our lives with Him, He wants to share His life with us. And He does so through His Word, and not just His written Word, as wonderful as it is. God is a God who still speaks today. He speaks to us not only through His Word, but through the power and might of His Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's through another individual, through a word of wisdom or knowledge or prophecy, and sometimes it's just the still small voice of His Holy Spirit. God speaks, speaking wisdom, speaking grace. We've been going through Genesis in our Wednesday night Bible study, and we looked at God's interaction with Abraham, who is noted in the Bible as being the friend of God. Before God rained down judgment upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, a city where Abraham's nephew and his family lived, God said, "Shall I not tell Abraham what I'm about to do?" In fact, the book of Amos says, "Will not God tell His servants, the prophets, what His plans are?" God, as the old hymn says, and this is nothing new, this is something that should be part and parcel of I hate to use the word Christian experience, or a relationship with Jesus, is communion with Him. Think of that old hymn in the garden. Those of you who remember old hymns. And He what? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other shall ever know, which I think those are the words of that. Why did that hymn writer pen those words? Because he lived in a state of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And worship provides for us a way, a pattern. In addition to being, we worship God because of who He is. We worship God for what He has done. And we worship God so that we may commune with Him. We speak to Him, He speaks to us. And when God speaks, great things happen. Our text this morning is from Exodus chapter 38. We're walking through the tabernacle and we're going to talk about And maybe if you could go ahead a few and then back, Matt. We're talking about the first object of worship in the tabernacle. It's this box over the left. I know you can't read it. It's even blurry up this close, so your eyes are fine. The first article of worship, which is the altar of sacrifice. Place where sacrifices were, people brought animals or things to be offered up to God. That wooden box that God fashioned in the tabernacle. It wasn't just something that was important for those people who worshipped in the Old Testament. It's important for us now to be people who sacrifice. Exodus 38, verses 1 through 7. They built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn in each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar were of one piece. And they overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all the utensils of bronze, its pots, shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network to be under its ledge halfway up the altar. They cast bronze rings to hold the poles for the 4 corners of the bronze grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so that they would be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow out of boards. Let's bow our hearts. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word together this morning. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We give You glory and honor and thanksgiving for all that You have done. Even in the midst of being humbled in the testimony of others, we're so grateful for Your grace in our lives. Speak to us now through Your Word this day, we pray, and we ask this in Your holy name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Notice the detail in that scripture regarding the formation of this. Not only, I believe, was the detail there so that it would be built correctly, it was to show the importance of this article, not only in the Old Testament worship, but to New Testament saints, because sacrifice is an important part of worship. In fact, sacrifice predates worshiping God during the time of Israel under the Mosaic Law or under the time of Moses. It was something that was done in the very beginning. In fact, after man's sin, the first thing that God did was sacrifice animals to provide a physical covering for them as far as to provide clothing for them, but also the shedding of blood to provide a covering for their sin. Sacrifice was important then, and sacrifice is important now. As I commonly share, as we partake of communion, the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, without sacrifice, there is no sending away of our sins. Israel in the Old Testament was commanded to sacrifice, and there were many different sacrifices, and time does not allow us this morning. Well, I guess it could, but I'd probably be speaking by myself by the time we were through, to go through each and every sacrifice. But generally speaking, the sacrifice that was made in the Old Testament were of two different natures. One was sacrifice for sin. Man then, as man now, fall under Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, have been affected by sin. We were conceived in sin, born into sin. We inherited the nature of sin, and we all have sin. And because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, sacrifice is necessary to cover that sin. And that was one of the chief sacrifices that was made upon that altar. sacrifice for sin, a lamb without blemish, was brought to the tabernacle, slain, the blood poured at the base of the altar for one purpose, to pay for, to cover the sin of the individual who wanted to worship God. Because an individual whose life is marred by sin is unfit to worship God. Only that which is holy can approach the throne of God. 1 Peter, I believe, tells us, be holy, even as I am holy. Now, the sacrifice in the Old Testament was important. It was not only important because it showed the heart of repentance of those who brought their lambs to be sacrificed, but more importantly, it was important because it pointed to the great and final sacrifice that was going to be accomplished thousands of years later. That being the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were important. But they were only a pledge for the ultimate sacrifice that was to come, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Because for the sin or the transgression of man, the sacrifice of man was required. The Bible tells us upon everyone who has ever sinned and all have sinned, the penalty of that sin is death. Blood needed to be shed. A sacrifice of that own person was necessary for their sin to be paid for. But God, not willing that mankind die in his sin and therefore die eternally separated from God, sent his own Son, Jesus, whom he describes as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Why was a lamb chosen in the Old Testament? Because it was the most innocent and inoffensive of creatures. Benign, pure, harmless. A symbol of something without sin. Symbolizing not something but someone without sin, Jesus, who came to this earth, who lived, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So when he hung on that cross, when he died, when his blood was spilt, it wasn't to pay for his own sin since he had none. It was to pay for the sin of you and me and all mankind, those who would personally accept him as Lord and as Savior in their lives. And so, because Christ died, sacrifice for sin no longer needs, no new sacrifice needs to be made. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So Christ died, and he rose again to pay for our sin. And so that if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You receive complete forgiveness of your sin. Or from your sins, excuse me. That sacrifice that Jesus performed on Calvary becomes part of your life. And you become completely clean and forgiven. You participate in this act of worship. But sacrifice for sin is not only something that we do when we first accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we first confess Him as Lord, when we first confess our sins and repent. It's something that we need to continue to do on a daily basis as we worship God. What am I saying? That we have to every day be born again? No. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and I'm not making a case for eternal security. You can fall away or backslide from serving Jesus. Many have. How do you know if you backslide? You ask yourself. A person who's in a backslidden state does not have the assurance in their heart that if they were to die today or if that Jesus Christ was to break the clouds and the trump was to sound, you would not be with Him. It is by faith you are saved. When you lose that faith, you are no longer saved. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're living for Christ. No one can take that salvation from us. So it's not a matter of coming to the altar of sacrifice for sin. We have to get saved every day. Or I have to respond to just as I am when I use a curse word or I tell a lie or I have a hateful or impure thought. We need to deal with those things, which we'll talk about in a moment. Coming to the altar of sacrifice every day, regarding, and when I'm speaking of sacrifice, sacrifice for sins, regarding what Jesus Christ has done, what He has done. Several things that we need to be mindful of on a regular basis as we worship God. First and foremost, we are never to forget why we have received this great salvation. You know, with anything in life, with any gift, no matter how big or how small, as appreciative as you might be when you first received that gift, over time, you lose that appreciation and often take that gift for granted. How many have had that? You might have received a great, like a car, or a nice piece of furniture or anything, and when you, oh, isn't that wonderful? What a great thing! And then after a while, it's no big deal. It's part of human nature. Human nature is something that we wrestle with, and human nature, and that losing that appreciation for wonderful, priceless gifts that we have been given is something that also can come into our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can forget about the high price that was paid that we might be forgiven and receive the assurance of eternal life. So as we worship, we're to come to this altar of sacrifice, what Christ has done for our sins. Every day, Not to be born again. If you're saved, hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. But to remember what Christ has done. God wants us to live in the remembrance of His sacrifice. There are even churches who get away from that. How do we know? And the reason I'm doing this, I'm pointing at this table. Because the purpose of this table is to remember the suffering and death of Jesus. We partake of the bread and drink of the grape juice. I was going to say the wine. We don't drink of the wine. But 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. Same way after supper, Paul speaking, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Jesus said these things, and to make sure that we continue to remember what He did, the Apostle Paul was moved upon by the power of the Holy Spirit to emphasize it to today's church as well. To eat the bread and to drink the cup. Why? It's just something we do know to remember that Christ suffered and died. It was through the blood of Jesus. And in that portion of Scripture, not only tells us that we partake of this, and again, it's just not a matter, we shouldn't just think of this every first Sunday of the month and we partake of communion. This is something that should be upon our minds and hearts every day. We do not only to remember what Christ has done in us, but also to reinforce in our lives of what our testimony is supposed to be, which is the cross. The message of Jesus is not a message of whole families, although God brings families back together. The message of Jesus is not deliverance from things that afflict you, although when you come to Jesus, He does deliver you. The message of Jesus is not it is a message of healing, but that's not the message, come to, God will do this and God will do that. The message of Jesus, or the message of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And everything else proceeds from that. The healing, the peace, the power, the Holy Spirit. Paul, Galatians 6:14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. As many as the revelations that Paul received, as mightily as He operated in the Holy Spirit, if you were to sum up the ministry of Paul in just one brief, short phrase, it would be the cross of Christ, Jesus Christ crucified. And I'm not saying revelations aren't part of knowing Jesus. They are, and the wonderful things of the Spirit. Bless God. I thank God that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells within me. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. All those wonderful things. But it's the cross. If we bypass that altar on the way to worship and get caught up in other things as it relates to our walk of faith, we're missing a very important part of our relationship with Jesus. Second aspect of the altar of sacrifice is that of confession. Now, when we sin, I might stub my toe and say something that I shouldn't say. Hopefully I wouldn't do that. Did I do that, Caitlin? No, I'm just kidding. Or if I'm in a tight spot, and I take the easy way out and tell a lie. Does that mean, as soon as I do that, I'm going to hell? I've lost my salvation? Well, I certainly hope not, because none of us would make it. Unless we die right after we confess everything, before God. I'm not trying to make light of that. But we live by grace. We're still not worthy. We're works in process. However, if we allow sin to lodge in our heart and spirit, all sin does is destroy. It is a wedge between you and the Father. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us when we sin willfully, bring the cross to a place of being an open shame. We bring dishonor. You're playing with fire. The soul that sins shall surely die. And when I think of that verse, I like to think in comparison to that of Adam. Adam, when he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, didn't drop dead that day, but began the process of dying. And you embrace sin. You embrace the process of spiritually dying in your life. Bless God, the altar of sacrifice provides for us a way to move beyond the sins that we continue to do, even if after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I've never really actually heard someone. I heard someone allude to this once. And if anyone tells you who is a believer, they don't sin anymore, they're sinning right then. And I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that. 1 John 1:8-9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now who's John speaking to there? Is he preaching to a bunch of heathens? Or is he talking to the church? We claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and will forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And then the next verse, we read it already, 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Sin is a common problem. We will wrestle with the flesh, the old sinful nature, as long as we breathe natural breath. Until we die or until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and we're resurrected and given new bodies. And sometimes we'll be victorious, we'll live by the Spirit, and sometimes we'll give in to the flesh. But when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So where does that put us in relationship to worship? Let me tell you, every day. I not only ask God, I have to ask God to forgive me of the sins that I have committed today. And not only, God, forgive me of my sin, but change me and make me new and make me clean. The morning when I pray, I ask God, give me the strength to withstand temptation. Too often we're very cavalier about our relationship with Jesus in the regards to holiness. And I'm not saying anything against grace. We live by grace. Sometimes we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. We're just always down on ourselves. We're so bad, and, you know, I was going to say you might have grown up Catholic and made you feel that way. I shouldn't say that because I wasn't Catholic, but I've heard a lot of Catholic people say that. They're always living under a guilt trip. We shouldn't be, and we don't need to be, living under the veil or the shroud of condemnation every day. But we do need to acknowledge that sin is something that we will still struggle with. And that as we worship God, it's important to stop at that table of sacrifice each and every day. Now, another aspect of sacrifice in the Old Testament was not only sacrifice for sin, it was sacrifice of consecration. Showing not just receiving forgiveness, but demonstrating our commitment to God. There is, as the book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer is entitled, there is a cost to discipleship. After hearing that letter from the pastor in Iran, Pastor Saeed, I have no doubt in my mind, you know, when I heard this, I just thought this was a horrible travesty, and it is. But I also have no doubt in my mind that it's in the will and the providence of God that he be there for just a time as this to testify to those people in that prison who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And the power, they might not be seeing the power of God and chains falling off, although that may happen at some point. They are seeing the power of God through the grace in this man's life, through the words that he has penned. We come to Jesus. As Bonhoeffer says in his book, Jesus says, not only come and live, he says, come and die. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 puts it this way, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. One of the offerings that were offered to God was the drink offering, something that was poured out before God. And that's a good illustration, if we know Jesus, how our lives to be completely poured out before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a matter of just receiving God's grace and forgiveness, receiving His sacrifice, but now sacrificing our lives, giving our lives. What do you think of when you think of a sacrifice? When they would prepare an animal to be sacrificed, they didn't just... I don't mean to be grotesque this morning. They didn't just... can't think of a nicer way to put it. Lop off an arm, a leg. And allow the rest of it to go free. The whole thing was consumed before God. How much does God want from your life? How much does God expect from you if you're to be a true worshiper of God? How much does He want as you approach this altar of sacrifice? Everything. Body, mind, and spirit. Some of the elements, specific elements in Scripture. And normally when we think of sacrifice, we think of giving our time and giving our finances and giving our talents to God. And yes, that is part of it. But there's so much more as well. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says, through Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. Two things in this portion of Scripture. Number one, I know this was part of the first part of our message, entering His courts with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. But praise is something that is to continue in everything that, as we worship God, in all the elements of worship, including sacrifice. In fact, praise itself is to be a sacrifice, which means praise is something that we give whether we want to or not, because sometimes praise becomes a sacrifice. And we're actually touch on this thought in just a little bit. And I actually debated whether to stop or not, because this might be a little long, but I'll try to move through quickly. There are times you will not feel, if you're a human being and if you're like me, you will not feel like praising God. Good stuff isn't happening. Well, good stuff's always happening, but the bad stuff is just in your face to the point where it's blinding you from all the blessings that you're receiving in life. The praise is something that we do whether we want to or not. In fact, I'll skip down just a little bit in my notes to jump ahead. Let me tell you, as far as sacrifice, I think the church in general has lost the spirit of sacrifice. When you hear the word sacrifice, and we hear it a lot in our society today, don't we, from our leaders and things, we've got to make sacrifices. You might have heard it at your job. We got to make sacrifices. What's implied with that word? Three things come to my mind. One is hardship. Second is pain. Third is worth. To sacrifice something means you give something that is of worth. Not something that's left over, because leftover worship, giving God our leftovers, is something that was in the Old Testament and is also, because human nature never changes, is in New Testament worship. I think Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and there's a slide for this, describes this phenomenon. A son, this is God speaking to His people, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now, husbands, wives, parents, friend, you've got someone who's close to you, and it's either your birthday or it's Christmas, a time to give a gift. And you get this gift, and you open it up, and it looks like it was from 1980. May have never been opened. Yeah, it's a gift as far as it was a bow and a you know, it was wrapping on it and a bow. But really, it shows you that you didn't really much care about them. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel during the time, or the people of Judah, excuse me, during the time of Malachi, were doing the same thing. When it came to offering, worshiping God through sacrifice, they weren't bringing their first and best, and that's what God calls us to do. The first and best of everything. Our time, our talent, our tithe, our heart. Some other things we'll mention just in a few moments in closing. He was just giving the leftovers. Oh, look, here's a miserable, diseased sheep. It's old. May have been one of them three-legged sheep you see at the fair, you know. Nothing no one would want. Four-legged, eight-legged, I don't know. I don't want it. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to kill it. So I'll just bring it. And it was an offense to God. Because God loved them. God gave them life. And God had done so much for them. God had brought them to that land. God had blessed them. God had protected them. Not only did God bring them to that land, but when they sinned and they went into captivity, He kept them whole there. And then He brought them back. They still treated God with contempt. But don't we do the same thing today? We give God our leftovers if I have time, if I have money, if I'm up to it. You got the priority of God is down here. And for good reason. Not good reason, but understandable reason. Is because presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice holy unto God. There's very little, if any, natural accountability to spending our time with God, serving God, to giving of our our material goods, all the different things that God wants us to do. There's no one there over our shoulders checking us up whether or not we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether we're putting God first, whether we're giving God our best. It's just us and God. And God's not going to make you do that. And oftentimes we fall into that trap. But not just, you know, the time, the tithe, the talent, but other things as well. Praise, as I mentioned. humility. You realize a humble spirit is a sacrifice before God. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. What is a broken spirit? What is humility? It's what Jesus demonstrated in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. Well, I'll do what God wants if I feel like it. But today I don't feel like it, so I guess I won't do it. Leftover gospel. Humility is not something we only demonstrate before God. In fact, we're not truly humble before God unless we're humble before man, which means sometimes we turn the other cheek. Well, today I'll turn the other cheek. Or this person I'll turn the other cheek because, number one, I either respect them or, number two, I'm afraid of them. But this person I hold as contemptible, I'm better than, I will not turn the other cheek. An acceptable sacrifice. Left over. Giving to others. Do not forget to do good. And I'm sorry, Matt. I'm back to Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good and share with others. For such sacrifices God is pleased. Helping other people. Well, if I got time. A repentant lifestyle. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then describes what that spiritual act of worship is, or what part of it is. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Along lines of humility. But it deals with the righteous calling of God's word in our lives, as well as obedience and stepping out. You know, being to God's individual call in our lives and God's call for holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And you know, some of our Bibles are this thick. Some of our Bibles are this thick. Some of our Bibles are this thick. And some of our Bibles are this thick. And what I mean by that? We edit out the parts that we don't like, we don't want to do. I enjoy this, so I'm going to do this. You know, I believe that I should not bear false witness, but as far as thou shalt not steal, not so big on that. You see where I'm going? Praise God. Number of sacrifices that we've been called to offer on this path to communion with God. Very quickly now in closing, and our musicians can come if you would like. How if we've lost, and I dare say, and I'm including myself at some point, and sometimes many points in our walk of faith, we lose that spirit of sacrifice. We're no longer that drink offering poured out upon the altar, God, take everything. How do we regain that spirit of sacrifice? Number one, we maintain a thankful or appreciative spirit. We never forget what Jesus Christ has done. That's the beauty about the altar of sacrifice. We can't look up on that altar of giving our lives without remembering what life was already given. You know, you might be saying, you know, God's asking a lot. God's asking me to give my all and my best. Well, you know, God did the same for you. And He's never stopped giving you His best. And you know what? The best is yet to come. Amen? Not only in this life. The more you serve Jesus and the more you walk this path of worship, the better your relationship will be with Him. But someday, face to face. Remember, God gave His best in His first. Secondly, be mindful. Some of you are not living in the blessings of God. And I'm not just talking about material blessings. You know, given it shall be given to you. First down, shaken. But spiritually, some of you have not received breakthroughs in your lives. You're stagnating where you are in Jesus because you're not living that life of sacrifice. God honors sacrifice. Listen to what happened in 1 Kings chapter 5, also in the book 2 Chronicles 8, I believe. 1 Kings 5, verses 8, this is the dedication of the temple, not the tabernacle, but the temple, that fixed place of worship in the Old Testament. Verse 8 says, King Solomon, the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. Verse 10, when the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priest could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled His temple. Why was God moving in such a way? Why? Because they were honoring, they were sacrificing. They sacrificed so much that they couldn't even count. You think it hurt? Absolutely. That many sheep, do you think there were people thinking, ay, 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 what is this guy doing? Sacrificing all these sheep and bulls and goats and, you know, could be given to the poor and all these things, and that's part of sacrifice. When God saw that, He honored them in the name of Jesus. Blessed them with his presence. And let me tell you, you live a sacrificial life before the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you give to God, God will give back to you. And you know what? When God gives back, He gives back more. Immeasurably more than what you give Him. I give my life to Jesus. My life wasn't much to begin with in the first place, and it really had no destiny. I've got life an infinite times more of what my life could have been. And not just, you know, as far as spiritual richness, but the eternity that is to come. Thirdly, we need to be intentional. We need to understand that sacrifice is something that we need to do with our mind, with our wills. It's to be a conscious decision, not an emotional response. And too often, our sacrifices to God are emotional responses. Either we're all hepped up and we want to do, or we feel guilty and we do, and although it's not intended to be that way. It's intended to be an act of will, a conscious decision that we make. Psalm 54:6, I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. We have to make that decision and stick to it, which means we need to get our flesh under control, not be ruled by our emotions. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:27. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This morning in closing, I'd like us all to stand. And if you'd like to and are able, if you just raise your hands to God, and I realize some might have physical issues where you can't. Don't judge the person who's not raising their hands. They might not be able to this morning. But symbolically, let's raise our hands before God, symbolic of our lives as a sacrifice before Him. And let us pray together in the name of Jesus that God would make each one of us in this church body a greater worshiper in the area of sacrifice. There'd be nothing that we hold on to. There would be nothing in our lives that we keep from God, that our lives would be poured out upon the altar of sacrifice this morning. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, and we come before you, Lord, as saints of the living God, because you have provided your Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Dear God, because the Lord Jesus Christ died and gave His life for us, we give our lives to you in the name of Jesus. God, today, most likely all of us have areas of our lives where we fully haven't poured out our lives before you. So we ask two things in closing this morning. Number one, that you would convict us, God, of those areas that we're holding back. Those areas, God, that we're not giving you our first and our best. We're giving you our leftovers. In the name of Jesus. We also pray, in Jesus' name, that you would give us the strength this morning to be people, Lord, whose lives are poured out upon the altar of sacrifice in the temple of our lives, in the name of Jesus. Lord, not only were we spurred to compassion, Lord, and tenderness by the testimony of our brother in Iran, God, we've also been spurred and encouraged to be greater vessels of sacrifice. Help us to lay our lives down completely before you, Lord, so that in our lives you may be glorified. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing a worship song this morning. As we do, for those whom, you know, God might be dealing with you this morning, and He might not be finished with you yet. Amen? Sometimes God does things in our lives and in our hearts in an instant. And sometimes God needs to really work some things out in our lives. And if you feel the Holy Spirit wanting to do that in your life today, I just invite you before you leave to find a place of prayer either around the front or where you're seated. And work out with God. And allow God to work out with you what He wants to this morning. Don't leave with the job half done in your life. So, you know, I'm going to open up the front for that. I'd like to ask our elders to come and pray for people as they come. And also, elders, if you come to pray and anoint people with oil. If you just like to worship, of course, we encourage you to do that. And those of you who must go or whatever point you do go, we do pray God's peace and blessing to be upon you in the name of Jesus, and you walk in the grace and the victory of God. But let's worship God together. Amen. As folks come.